Bernie Sanders' improbable campaign for the White House is ending in defeat. Yet the organization he built and the enthusiasm of his supporters live on. The Vermonter proved there's wide support for the issues he holds dear. A more realistic foreign policy, increasing the minimum wage, extending free public education through college, taking climate change seriously, backing union and minority rights, and advocating for ridding our politics of the corrupt influence of dark money. He also proved that you don't have to kiss up to the billionaire class of super PACs to raise enough cash to run a national presidential campaign. Sanders drew millions of votes and harvested millions of dollars at $27 a pop on the internet. What he failed at was building a diverse campaign that attracted the votes of a majority of African American and Latino voters. This is the biggest reason he lost to Hillary Clinton, who's now the presumptive Democratic nominee. The final blow to Sanders' quest was his humbling loss to Clinton in the California primary. The question of what Bernie and his supporters want has intrigued the media for months. From the top of his effort to the bottom, the Sanders base wants what he has always advocated, a fairer country where average Americans have a better chance at a middle-class life, and a safe environment and a less militaristic foreign policy. Tad Devine, the Rhode Islander who shaped Sanders' message, says the senator wants to continue to expand the electorate, urging his flock to get involved in local politics and push the Democratic Party to the left. Devine also notes that the campaign means that Sanders himself will be a more influential player in Washington, D.C., particularly if Democrats take back the Senate, a realistic goal given the Trump ascendancy on the Republican side. Sanders' Rhode Island supporters want to see how their candidate is treated at the Democratic National Convention before they vote for Clinton. Robert Malin, a strong Sanders supporter from Charleston, says, quote, "We can't have Trump," but also says he wants to see Clinton weave Sanders' ideas into the party's platform before he would commit to vote for her. Others, such as Beth Fowler Adamo of Providence, want Sanders to take his ideas to the convention. She says at this point she just can't vote for Clinton and may cast her ballot for a third-party progressive candidate. This attitude isn't unusual in the aftermath of a loss. In 2008, some hardcore Clinton supporters vowed not to vote for Barack Obama after their bruising campaign. In the end, cooler heads prevailed and Democrats united around Obama. But the 2000 presidential sweepstakes ought to give pause to liberal Democrats considering opting for a third party. That year, Ralph Nader drew 25,000 votes in New Hampshire, a state Al Gore lost by only about 7,000. Had Gore won the Granite State, there would have been no Florida frittata, no George W. Bush presidency, and likely no Iraq War. The challenge for the Sanderistas is to keep their movement alive. They must stick together. And liberals must learn what conservatives have done better in recent years. Show up in midterm elections. If the gridlock in Washington shows us anything, it's what happens when progressives work hard to elect presidents and then go to sleep during the crucial midterm elections when the House and Senate are up. And don't forget state and local elections. The Sanders campaign crushed Clinton in Rhode Island. Just think what those voters could accomplish if they aimed at taking out some of the Democrats in name only who are so powerful at the statehouse. Malin says this is already happening as some of the Sanders throng are considering running for local offices, including town councils around the Ocean State. Sanders is 74. He isn't going to be a long-run leader of what he started. Now's the time for his followers to step up and make a commitment to stay involved, or the movement he ignited will be little more than a historic footnote.